Russ has asked me to take this over. This has to do with foreign missions, Kelly. In fact, this whole lesson is based upon our responsibility to either actively be a part of a foreign mission or actively participating in foreign missions. And what I was surprised when I read through some of these scriptures is how many scriptures there are in the Bible that tell us of our obligation or our if we're going to be a true Christian, what we should do, how we should react or behave towards foreign mission people. So we're going to start off with the basic scripture reference, Mark 16:15. And if you will, someone turn to that, we'll read that, and then we'll see where we go from there. You know that he was talking to his disciples at that time, and I'm probably one of those that shrugged this off. I said, yeah, he wasn't talking to me. he was talking to the disciples. Until we're going to get into a lot of following scripture, which is going to show of our commitment, or our supposed commitment that we as Christians are supposed to have to this phrase or this verse that came out of the Bible. It says, go ye. You know, often people change that word to go me. It's easy for us to say, go ye. Apparently, y'all go to China, do your thing. We'll think about you. But it's really, when we get through this lesson here completely, you're going to see where it's go me. It doesn't mean that we are going to China, but we, in essence, are going to China through someone else. Okay. Someone read the statement. Wes, how about reading that statement, if you would?
The church in the first century assimilated into their lives the compassion and vision of Jesus for the lost. They indeed went into all the world at that time with the gospel. Through their efforts, we read of phenomenal growth. About 3,000 were added on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:41. The Lord added to the church daily, Acts 2:47. The number of men was about 5,000, Acts 4:4. Believers were the more added, multitudes, both men and women, Acts 5:14. Disciples multiplied greatly. Company of priests were obedient to the faith, Acts 6:7. All day which dwelt in Asia heard the word, Acts 19:10. Gospel was preached in all creation under heaven, Colossians 1:23. They did that by teaching publicly and from house to house, praying for open doors, sending men out into all the world. Many of them going to other places themselves. Today, we need to assimilate that vision into our lives as the first century church did, so that we too may support, pray, encourage, and perhaps go ourselves into all the world.
Okay, we know it's a fact, and you and I realize the fact that not every one of us can just pick up and go into all the world. I would like to think that we could or would if it depended upon our commitment to Jesus Christ, if that's what it took. But we know that's just not feasible. But the last paragraph down here, at least next to the last paragraph, it says they did that by teaching publicly and from house to house, praying for open doors. Now, this can be us. We have no excuse not to go to our neighbor, or go to our coworker, or go to a member of our family, or go to our friend and tell them about Jesus Christ. We have no excuse by not using what God has given us and blessed us with here in the location that we're in, not to go out and preach and teach Jesus Christ. So whereas we might find a good excuse or satisfy within ourselves, you know, that's not me. I'm not going to China. That's somebody else. We can't deny that we have this responsibility, that we can do these things, and we can do them without very little so-called cost to us. If we can't go, in a lot of cases we can't go, there are a lot of things that we can do, and I think the last paragraph is going, we're going to find out as we venture into these scriptures what we can do. Is we may support, we can pray, we can encourage those who are going. I think it's kind of fortunate that we have within our congregation Colonel and Kelly, who just recently come back from China and intend to go back, I understand, or would like to go back, and that we can have a good discussion on that. We can understand where we might not can go or would not go, and we have someone who will go, then maybe we can do what the other scriptures tell us that we need to do, or at least have the attitude toward what you're doing that other Christians should have. And under examining this, is in what ways are you participating in taking the gospel to the world? And of course, the question is, be specific. You're probably like me, and I admit it very little. I support it, spend some money, give them some money, or maybe we encourage somebody to a point. Jerry Radcliffe himself hasn't done very much as far as going and taking the gospel to the world. But always remember, the world is not out there in foreign countries only. The world is here. The world can continue to be. There's certainly need help. And the world can be always surrounding areas where we have people in need, people in poverty. Yes, sir.
I think one of the things you may not look at it as being a thing that's that important, but in a sense it is, one of the things that we all do that kind of offer out to the world is the way we prepare ourselves wherever you are, and especially when you're around your friends that act differently than what you do. And you don't mind being the one that stand out, that don't go apart, don't go along with what's happening. That in a sense, that in itself is going to be the first thing that's going to draw the attention to you. It's we all want to be accepted to go along with the crowd, so to speak. But it is to stand up, and especially something that is not the right thing that you should be doing. And, to be bold enough to know I'm not going to be a part of that. That's so much of not laughing at a joke. Whatever you're doing. Of course, we all want to help somebody we see any need. That's kind of easy, but it's the hardest thing to draw the attention to yourself, to not to be a part of what's happening. And you may not think that's important, but that, I think it's really important to the first thing, that you do as far as caring about it. You can't change up.
You've heard this statement many times. The greatest sermon that you'll ever preach is what you live your life. People look at what you're doing. You're certainly not going to convince them to come to Christ if you're not leaving Christ. Christ like I will attest that you do. I'm proud to know you. What you do in your workplace. And that's a truism. I mean, we're going to fall into that line of what they call hypocrites, by leading one life and then trying to tell someone how to lead another life. But there are many, and I guess that's living your life is a sort of like a witnessing. You know and I know what difference Christ has made in our lives. Why keep it to yourself? You could share that with somebody else. They can't argue with it. How did I argue? You don't know. You don't have to know all the scriptures. You don't have to say, unquote this, unquote that. All you got to do is tell them what difference he's made in your life. And they can't dispute that. The difference he made. So we all have that. We all should have that. We can do evangelism by calling people. If our gift is, I don't know why it would be a gift, it's just to use your voice, but our gift is just to get on the phone. Or just have the mindset to get on the phone and call someone who's down, who's out, who's sick, who's in trouble. We have that means of spreading the gospel throughout the world. We can do it in writing. We do have some gifted writers in this congregation. We think about people. Think about birthdays. Think about tragedies they've been through. And they write people to let them know that they care for them, they love them, they miss. We can spread the gospel in this area certainly by giving. Not only of our money, but giving of our time. Many organizations in and around this area that need help, need someone to come down there and hand out food. I can tell you, right, little place right down here on Palmer Street or one of the streets down there, every Tuesday and Thursday, they feed people down there. You can be a part of that just simply by going and handing out food or preparing food. They'll take any kind of help you can give them. You can do that by resources that you might have. You know, if you have a garden, take your neighbors some tomatoes if you know that they're going to have squash, if you know these kids. You know, they've got a lot of kids and they don't have that much money to put towards the food. If you're a canner, we do have some people in this congregation that can. There's nothing better than homemade canned jelly and preserves and tomatoes and stuff like that. We can deal with the clothes, the excess clothes that we have. And we're all blessed with having far more than what we actually need to survive. We can spread the gospel in this area by transporting people. And there are people in this congregation there that I hope we've satisfied that need to get them to the where they have to head to dialysis. I think now that's going to work better. But up until a point, we were hauling people back and forth to dialysis. So if you have a vehicle, there's a need out there for you to transport people. And even if you can't do any of that, you can just sit with them and comfort them and read the Bible with them or pray with them or sing with them. And most all of us have that capacity where we have time, some time on our hands where we can go and spread the gospel. And all this, I'm saying all this, and to try to get us out of the mindset when he said, go ye into all the world. We immediately eliminate ourselves. I have a tendency to eliminate myself. That's somebody else. It's killing me. That's cruel. That's him going to. And all of us. We're going to have a lot of scriptures. It really surprised me of how many scriptures pinpoint our responsibility for evangelism.
Didn't necessarily have to stop right there and start praying. But I would tell the person, or I remember one of my students, she came to a meeting and she was stressed out because her sister was pregnant and she was having some problems with the pregnancy and she was really concerned that maybe she would lose the baby. And so we told her, we're going to pray about that. But the key is not just saying, I'm going to pray for you, it's the follow-up. Because when you tell someone that you're going to pray for them, you use that as an opportunity to show how God works. You know, so you say, I'm going to pray for you about this. And then later on, you check up on them and say, I've been praying about this. How's it going? You know, in that instance, her sister had a very healthy baby, and they were doing fine. And then that's your time to say, well, praise God. Mm-hmm. Don't thank me for praying for you. Praise God. And it's a very physical and tangible thing that they can say, okay, there must be something to this prayer thing. Maybe God really does care about me. Maybe there's something to it. That's always something more tangible you can do for people. And it's just little foot, pray.
Before we came in here this morning, we got a call from Ann. She's down to one of them, see her sister who's in the Albemarle Hospital in the city. COPD. And she asked me, I asked you to be a part of her sister. So I asked you to do that, and I'm sure you'll have a foundational prayer to go. Does mean something. Don't tell anybody you're going to do it if you're going to do it. You're investing in with God. But anyway, you're right. Just let them know that you care enough about them so that you can pray for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll see God working. I have an advantage over Russ, by the way. Russ never had anybody come all the way up from Georgia to hear me lead his class. We had guest judges from all the way up from Georgia just to hear me lead his class. Jessica's in the military and stationed at Fort Lee, and she's visiting with us for the short period she's going to be there. So be sure you meet and greet Jessica. We'll tell Russ, though, to come all the way up. All right, let's go to the next page. Explain it and express it. What? Here's where it gets down to the rubber meets the road. What can I do? What can I do to make sure the gospel spreads throughout the world? And I want, if someone would read Romans 10, 15 for us, if you would.
And how can they teach
how
they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Get down to the nitty gritty here. How can people like Colonel Kelly go over to China and preach Jesus Christ except that he's sent? How beautiful are the feet? How great a work they do. Someone will take on their responsibility to do that. Bible ordains that those who preach the gospel, of course, should live the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14, Galatians 6:6. Someone, if you would, go to first. Someone take up 1 Corinthians 9:14, and then someone go to Galatians 6:6. All right, so how's they going to get their resources? Somebody say it. How's they going to get their resources?
From us.
From you, me, fellow Christians. Okay. All right. Then someone go to Galatians 6:6. Okay.
One who is taught the word to share all. all good things that we want to do.
Alright, so if we're taught, again, comes down to you and me. If we're taught, and I'm seeing enough of you in class here to know that you've been taught. I know I've been taught. Then we have another responsibility, not only just taking it in, we gotta share. We gotta share. If we say, oh, well, I can't go into the world and share it, I can't go to here and I can't go there, then you go back to the first verse up there. Because you need to support those who are willing to do that. Those who have the commitment to do something like that. Read John, 3 John, 3 John 5 through 8, and we got some questions that we want to answer when we read that. Someone read the 3 John verses 5 through 8. Would you like to be written down in the book of life to be like it? Hey, Tommy. Thank you so much for the support you gave so and so that down with Tommy Street that way. What greater way to be looked upon in God's eyes than to be someone, and he understands all of us. And will not go out into the world, but he does understand that we have the capacity to support those who do. Gaius has a very good reputation here from what we just read about it. What was testified before the church concerning Gaius? What did it say concerning Gaius? What was written in these verses she just read about Gaius? He walked in the street. He walks in the truth. Every kind of course, he also said he encouraged others to do so. What good thing was Gaius encouraged to do in those verses? Do you remember what he was encouraged to do? My good sister, good job of reading that. In fact, your version is better than he did. He was encouraged to continue. Hey. Keep on helping these evangelists when they come through. Show them hospitality. In his case, he took them in. He bored them or he fed them. Or he, I guess if he had any other means, then he gave him some of his means when he was going on. Why didn't they want to take anything from the Gentiles? Why did he warn them not to take anything from the Gentiles? Why would you think Paul would write in John would write? I could take anything from the Gentiles. So this is going to hit on a very important problem I think we face today in so-called television evangelism.
I'm not sure exactly
the
answer
you're
looking for there, but what I see is that people are in China, and we need to focus on that. We were in that situation and we did need help. And we went to people who weren't believers and they know us, they know we're Christians, they know we follow God, and we talk all the time about how God takes care of all his needs. He gives you everything. And, you know, and we go to them and like, oh, you know, I have to go to the hospital, my kids sick and we need clothes, and you know, they'll be looking at us like, well, where's your God? This God who's supposed to be taking care of you, what is he doing for you? Why are you coming to me? I need to believe in that. So that already causes the problem and takes away your credibility as a Christian.
Yeah, I will put it in a little bit clearer terms. Christians did not, the Lord at that time did not want Christians to fear to be hawkish. He wanted to begin. You know, and I think we've had some good professional people since that time in our generation that we have seen used so-called Christianity for personal gain. That in turn, when they crumble, and inevitably they crumble, they always fall. How many other people have they deterred from becoming Christians and following that? Keep thinking it's Tammy Faye or Baker or millions and millions of dollars they took from people to get so-called, I forget the name of their, what they call that then. But I know there's a lot of people that point and say, you can't put that. You Christians, you call yourself Christian, look what they did. Look what they did. And there are many others. You and I know of many others that have come along and done that.
Darren, even in Paul's writings, evidently he was charged with this, you know, by some of his enemies. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes it very clear that I didn't take anything from you when I came to pick you up, well, I supported myself, you know, or, you know, support. So, you know, he made it very clear that he could never put himself in the position to be charged with, you know, preaching the gospel, you know, for his own worldly, you know, material benefit. So that's nothing really new.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a new thing, but that in the early spread of the church, they certainly didn't want to go off with that reputation, get that reputation very quickly. As we know over time, that surely has taken place. And it's done great detriment to the church, and I know God is going to hold these people who've done that extremely, extremely accountable for not only the damage or the greed that they had, but for the damage they did to anybody else who was falling behind them. And some sincere people had some sincere beliefs within what they were doing. And of course, their world just shattered, you know, when it crumbled. So God made the point right now while we're starting off, y'all take care of each other. Y'all take care of each other. And that same thing holds true today. There's no reason why we as Christians, as much as we are prosperous, can't take care of our own. And if you I always say, if you see these guys up in them suits, they got their fancy hairdo and got them shiny shoes on up there, and they're telling you to send the Lord the money, but they give you their home address, you know, some bells ought to go off in your head, you know. There's something wrong here. Something's wrong here. Okay. What do you think the phrase bring forward, in the King James Version, by the way, it's set forward. In the ASV Version, it says sin. What do you think that thing means? That phrase means? You have to go back and read that. Tell me what that phrase bring forward means. In the full range. In the full range of support. That can go all the way from financial help, travel, help them get where they're going, other assistance that they may need, any generosity that you can give toward those people that would help them spread the gospel. He wants you to bring that forward. Bring it from those days of the early church, those examples that Gaius gave us, that bring that forward and make sure that we have someone out there that we support them in that manner. They live or should be able to live off the generosity of others. I understand that, Colonel, that you and Kelly teach, in addition to when you're in China, that you teach English. That you're, as far as your travel and your basic support above what they would allow you to teach them, that should be supplied by Christians. And I don't think we can deny that. I don't know how we can deny that.
The other thing, I appreciate you saying, but a lot of times what we do is, you know, we wake up someone that there were people praying for us, people who would send us, you know, just we had one sister who would just send us a card. Cost her $1 or so. But to know that somebody was thinking of us and praying for us. And in my Kelly's mom, she was in his home. And we knew that if we asked her to have the church pray for us, that it would happen. And that went so far beyond what the money was. Because it wasn't money that pushed us past these feelings of just going to hold up and disappear. It wasn't money that pushed us past it. It was prayer that people were putting on our behalf. Without that, I think missions would be impossible. It would be impossible for any person to go to different countries and preach the gospel if it weren't for people from their home country. It would be absolutely impossible.
I think a lot of y'all are familiar with the preacher Eddie Hendricks. Eddie did some evangelism work. He was the only person I think several years ago in a couple of places. But as he finished or came to his retirement age from his preaching career, he and Carol had decided that they would go back because they had been there. They saw a need of going back to evangelists, going back to, like, coming with them into China. Then in a week, or maybe 2 weeks with you, that you and your wife go off, they keep the kids. They keep those classes that you were teaching or just give you relief, give you support. He saw that need, and he's currently doing that, not as we speak, he's in between, but he's currently involved in that. And I would think that would be a great help for someone like y'all to have someone come over that you were familiar with. Spend a week with you, or 2 weeks, and sit over some of your classes, fellowship with you, and talk to you about what's going on in the state.
Yeah, that's right. Megan prayed that the modular prayed to go and have that state would stay in the dirt floor and people that might have that snake because the snake.
The black mamba snake.
I think 1 year one of them did fall out of the tree and one of the missionaries and the white big guy in. But that's where they went. They went to places where nobody really wanted to go, and they've gone every year for about 4 or 5 years. They need support too, type of thing. And I have to admire them so much. They're willing to say, hey, they have to take all these shots. I mean, this malaria you just sit there and the missionaries just come from way off, knowing that there was no
other missionaries.
You could sit there and see them help. You could tell them help or whatever, even though. They risk their own health too, and they go into Hungary and Africa and the other place that they've gone. I love the living business.
I signed up for Tahiti. I want to go to relieve those people in Tahiti for a while. They wouldn't take it. I won't have it.
But we can give them verbal.
Oh, yeah.
And
financial support. So if somebody has to support them, they'll even support you. But we as Christians have got to realize what you're going through in a foreign country. Just you and your family over there. And you said people looked at you, you know, every time you walked out of town, people look at you differently, and you can imagine. And the way we walk, people just stare at us and wonder, probably wondering, you know, what they're doing, you know, what they're doing. But it's a feeling that we haven't experienced, and I haven't experienced. But I can almost, from listening to Carol and talk about their adventures, understand what you're going to do. That's why it's important that we encourage you constantly. You do have access to the internet over there. So anybody can get on here and talk to you that way, encourage you that way. There's no excuse. When you look back on it, and we've just gone through a few of these verses, and I'm sure Russ will come out and go through some more. My time is up today. It's not that we don't have an excuse. We have an obligation. And if we're going to be a true Christian, a committed Christian, then we've got to obey all God's word, not just not that part that we like and that we dislike.
You're an group.
Oh, yeah, there. Well, then you're, I'm a little bit younger now, but then you're.
Just because they're elderly, it's still there.
Not gonna believe it.
Just send somebody else. And you can't do the mission work by ourselves. We don't have it within ourselves
right.
To do it. But if God is able to empower us, and like I said, sometimes we didn't want to see anybody and we wanted to leave. It was by the grace of God that we would push past that point anyway. So say, I can't go to my neighbor and talk to you. Well, that's okay. Because you're right, you can't do it, but God can. And since you serve God, and since He put His Spirit inside of you, and since you are His child, He will give you the ability to push past your own limitations.
If we can't go to China and hold you in Kelly's hand, we can hold Nancy's hand. But she said he'll wandering and worrying about our kids over there, their grandkids. There's all kind of things we can do. And Russell picked this up, I'm sure he'll give you a more complete picture than what we've done here, but it's been a good class, I'm sure he'll